Welcome to Raw is Jericho! Believe in the shit!
I am the best in the world.
Oh yeah!
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to the Review Fix podcast where we will review Survivor Series. I'm here with Editor-in-Chief Patrick Higgy Jr.
Ooh, yeah!
And as always, you got the show off himself, the Puerto Rican Stallion, even though we don't have stallions in Puerto Rico. We basically have, like, large
goats,
dancing horses and goats. Goats, we have dancing horses. I even forgot what that was called. But it's pony ballet, dressage. We have dressage horses in Puerto Rico. And that's me showing off my wrestling knowledge here on the ReviewFix.com wrestling podcast. How are you doing, Pat?
Doing pretty good. It sounded like an old like Rick Martel finishing move, like the pony ballet.
You know what? If I could make it, if I could put it off like Rick Martel, it would look damn good.
Spray some cologne in somebody's face and then put their ass in a Boston crab and just sit on their back and be like, booyah!
Oh, man, so the elephant's in the room here. What did you think of Survivor Series?
I said this in my article earlier this week that, like, you know, we usually only remember the finishes of pay-per-views, and if that's the case, then Survivor Series was absolutely amazing. The rest of the card, not so good. The main event was great. I marked out several times. I thoroughly enjoyed myself, but most of the card was pretty lackluster.
Now, was it truly lackluster, or was it because they removed basically all the titles except for the Diva and Tag Team Championships to be defended on the pay-per-view card?
Yeah, that's probably the main point with me. And then, too, it's like, I'm so over this Lesnar not fighting nonsense. Mm-hmm. He needs to defend the belt now. Like, enough is enough.
Survivor Series has traditionally been before the late 90s, the place where the Intercontinental Championship is usually decided. So what do you think of having, you know, one, Dolph Ziggler lose the IC Championship less than a week going into a major pay-per-view? Do you think that was the right move?
I don't think it was a great move, but I do think that, like, Lesnar is slowly but surely becoming someone that doesn't necessarily need a title to, like, possess value on the roster. And I think that Luke Harper is somebody, I mean, we've talked about Luke Harper a ton of times. He's just, you know, he's got a ton of talent. He's super charismatic. He's got a great arsenal of power moves. He's agile. He's somebody that in time could be a very, very solid Intercontinental Champion. So I think the shock value is there. I think a lot of people were happy with the move. Because it's like, bottom line, it's like Dolph Ziggler's too good to be IC Champion anyway. He's a former World Heavyweight Champion. What is he doing with the IC title?
Well, right now he can't even challenge for the world title.
Because there is no world title, you know? Basically.
No, it's sitting in somebody's closet.
Yeah.
Because you gave it off a guy who truly loved the company, got hurt legitimately, and you gave it to somebody who was just sitting at home.
Yep. Have you heard the rumors about a potential brand split?
I have heard the rumors, but the problem is this. We've discussed a brand split before. You need two main belts, unless one will be the IC champion and the US champion, and then the other will be the World Heavyweight Champion and the Divas Championship. If not, you have to create another belt because
TV title.
I like the TV title, but why not give it to some cruiserweights? Why not reform the cruiserweights? Just use them correctly this time.
This is the thing, though. You can't do it now because then Daniel Bryan would be considered a cruiserweight. Ziggler is only 215 pounds. He'd be considered a cruiserweight. There's way too many guys under that 225-pound mark that would not be able to technically challenge, theoretically, in the heavyweight division. So
I think it is?
Go ahead.
I think the TV title isn't considered prestigious. And to some effect, at least the cruiserweight, you know.
When Arn Anderson had it.
That's Arn Anderson. He makes any title look awesome.
It's true.
Let's be 100%
when he's
honest.
Not being stabbed by Sid Vicious.
But, you know, I mean,
oh, I went
do
there.
You throw
I went
a new
there.
Championship?
What happened?
Do you form a new championship? Do you create one? Have an inaugural tournament?
Or we've had this conversation before about the old FCW 15-minute Ironman title. That would be sick. That if you knew at this title had to be defended at every single show, meaning like main event, superstars, Raw, SmackDown, whoever had that belt would basically be killing themselves in the ring. And like just to be able to hold that belt for like longer than a month would be an accomplishment within itself. It would give so many guys an opportunity to go in there and have 5-star matches. It would be insane.
But you see, this is where I think the brand split could benefit, right? If they do it, main event and superstars are two shows where you get a lot of recap.
Yeah.
If you do the brand split, yeah, I do care about what happened in Raw. But most likely the people that are watching on the network are already watching Raw and SmackDown.
True.
So why not give the, you know, Tyson Kidd has done well on main event.
Yeah, and he's done well on NXT too. He's fighting Finn Balor this week. I'm like super excited about
that. Yeah, I'm going to mark out when I see that. If they give him time to just wrestle.
Yeah.
Or just free float that, that'd be amazing.
Dude, match. Balor is built like a freaking shithouse, man. He's built like a truck.
He's got like an eight pack. Genuinely excited. But now, now you have the problem where you have really, really already established guys just going there to learn a style. Once, if you promote Zayn and Breeze and Neville out of NXT, what's left? You know, you're gonna have to amp up Baron Corbin. You're gonna have to amp up Bo Dempsey. You're gonna have to maybe, you know, Dawkins, Angelo Dawkins will get a shot if he could form a coherent character. You know, you have these people that you're going to pillage your farm talent in order to fill the roster, but then the people you have replacing your farm talent are already established talents that won't be spending much time.
I agree.
What do you do then?
I think we'll put it this way. Neville is ready. Breeze is ready. Zayn has been ready. Itami is ready. Balor is ready. Kid is long been ready. Corbin is not. Dempsey is not. There's a bunch of good tag teams in NXT that are on their way.
I mean, the mechanics have looked well.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Scott Dawson looked downright impressive last week.
They're good workers.
Right? You had Buddy Murphy, who I have, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I was like, who the hell is Buddy Murphy?
And he had a good match with Tyson Kidd.
Exactly. You know? And I'm like, wow, you know what? Either Tyson Kidd is getting so good that he can make other people look good, or Buddy Murphy has come along.
No, Buddy Murphy's pretty good, you know? I mean, bottom line is NXT is flooded with guys that work much better than we think they could. I mean, let's be fair. I mean, Enzo Amore and Colin Cassidy, those guys are ready for Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Enzo has to face the fact that he's not a wrestler.
I think he could wrestle, but he has to wrestle in like that Santino style, where he's going to get his absolute ass handed to him every single time, and that like he'll have his little comeback and stuff, but he's never going to be like anything other than an entertaining mid-card guy that will probably, you're right, thrive more as a manager who talks his ass off, you know?
I mean, half the time I like big calves. But he needs more work on the mic.
Oh, he does. But the thing is, too, it's like as much as Enzo is relying on Cass in the ring, Cass is relying on Enzo on the mic.
Hmm. Now, what about Carmella? Do you still? I love Staten Island right now.
She's very Staten Island. Yeah, she's got a schnozzola on her, but she's good looking, and I love that submission finisher that she does.
It just looks good.
The girls in NXT have so much freaking talent, man. It's like, part of me is like, why don't they have, like, Charlotte, Sasha, Carmella, Bayley, Alexa Bliss, Becky Lynch, all of them just come and take out the entire cast of Total Divas, sans, like, Naomi and, like, Natalya.
Well, let's be honest, since you brought that up, to get us back on topic, the Survivor Series Diva Elimination Match, second match of the night, good spots. Some botches, and I think I know why the botches happen.
Why?
You don't give these people enough time in a ring.
Oh, yeah.
You don't get enough time in a ring in front of people. It's not that they're not getting ring practice. I doubt that they're not getting ring practice.
And there was no storyline to bring it all together, too, so it lacked a lot of
sizzle. I mean, you have Paige and Alicia Fox. That was an ancillary storyline that Paige already squashed.
Yeah.
Right. Put Natalya in the main event picture. She is ready to wear that belt.
Been ready for a long time. For a long time, before AJ got hot and before Paige came along, she was like the best worker in the Divas division. And you could argue that she still might be. You know?
Well, but why would you give your breakout diva such a... Why would you squash her like that?
Because they made it CM Punk for some reason.
No, I'm not talking about AJ Lee. I'm talking about their breakout diva. I'm talking about Paige. I think Paige has the potential to replace AJ in a way and have good feuds with those that are left behind.
See, they didn't quite squash her, to be fair, because...
She should have at least gotten one elimination.
She was the last one left, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but as we saw in the main event, you could be the last one left and still make them one.
Oh, yeah. I agree. To be totally fair, that match was horrible, like the first 4 or 5 minutes, but then like something clicked, and it at least got to the point where, like, if I was in the bathroom dropping a deuce during the pinfall, I would have been a little upset. Not too much upset, but a little upset.
Well, and here it comes. You had the best workers. You had the majority of your good workers on one team.
Oh, yeah.
You know, which was Emma, Natty, Naomi. You know, to a certain point, even Alicia Fox is a pretty good worker.
She's very underrated. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
But the only one that seems to have charisma on that is Natty.
Yeah.
Right? Emma seems to be connecting with some fans, but not enough.
Emma is like, she was great in that match. You know?
She was a Dolph Ziggler of that match.
Yep, I agree.
She took the majority of the punishment for the Divas. Mm-hmm. But then you saw...
They just make her look like a fool, you know?
Well, you know what? We keep saying that storyline. I really think WWE creators should listen to us. But, you know, I don't get paid the millions of dollars.
Not yet.
Not yet, at least. But in all honesty...
When you do, could I have $5?
Yeah, you can have $50. Just because I like $50 in this Yingling that's been in my freezer for 4 days. But no, I mean, you saw the inexperience of Summer Rae come out.
Oh, yeah, she's awful.
And I don't know if she should go back to NXT since Fandango got a new groove back.
And that's awful, by the way. That gimmick is awful.
Do you think this is a repackaging where he's going to try to do the Fandango thing, get really angry, and just start going? Because this mean streak was at least slightly entertaining.
Oh, yeah, he's a lot more aggressive. And, like, Rosa Mendez is hot, but she can't dance. And it's just like... Are you like Ricky Martin or like Enrique Iglesias? Like, that's what I feel like when he walks out, I want to sing like, Bailamos! You know, it's like.
But this is what you do. Have Rosa Mendez bring the mean streak out of him. If you're going to make it a fiery Latina, and that's obviously what they're trying to go for.
Mm-hmm. But that's what Michael Hayes is trying to go for.
If you deal with Latinas like we do, you know they're vindictive people. Have someone cross Rosa and then sick Fandango on them. I'm not saying win every time, but at least give him time to show that, one, he is accomplished in the ring, because I saw some of his NXT stuff, right? And two, just give him time to just be mean and be a wrestler. This 3 minute top rope leg drop, I mean, it doesn't do it for me.
You don't like his leg drop?
I don't know. There's something, you know what it is? He's a guy who looks like he's capable of more.
He needs to do like a reverse Michinoku driver or something like that.
You could hurt someone with that.
I know, but that's why you should do it.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you for bringing Taka Michinoku back in this.
I love Taka.
Yeah, I'm not an asshole. You're an asshole. WWE Tag Team Championships, the Big Copper Pennies. What do you think?
I love The Miz and Sandow together. I think it's great. I think it's much more entertaining than... I like Stardust and Goldust as a tag team. I think they work great in the ring, but... Stardust character kind of annoys the shit out of me. It's not nearly as entertaining as I thought it was going to be, or as entertaining as it was the first couple of weeks. So I think The Miz and Mizdow work much better. But, you know, it's like prime... This is like prime picking for a team like The Ascension, or like even like Cassidy and Enzo to come in and like cause a ruckus in the tag team scene, because all of these teams can work. Like the Usos... Goldust and Stardust, The Miz and Miz Dow, they can all work, but they're just, they're lacking, like, something, like, really, really special.
Oh, you mean the it factor?
Yeah, they don't have it, you know?
Well, I will tell you, as much as I love my Puerto Rican brethren, I didn't expect much from Primo and Unico. Excuse me, I mean Los Matadores.
Yeah.
But they held their own in a match where they were obviously outclassed. They can work too, but
their gimmick is awful.
I know. Oh. They should get really mad and just become like gangbangers.
They look like Ninja Turtles.
No, I mean, at some point, they have to be willing to go to Vince McMahon and go, hey, you know, I need to do something different. And then just have the concept. Because that's the only way you get something new, apparently.
Yeah, have something ready. Yeah, I agree.
You go to Michael Hayes, you go to Vince McMahon, you go to Kevin Dunn, and you go, hey, this is stupid. I'm tired of running around with the ball. Or you can still run around with the ball, or with the little guy. But just have him get angry. Have him randomly attack someone. You don't need a face team. You don't need two face teams and two heel teams.
Yeah.
You already got the comedy act of Slater Gator. Why are you so hell-bent on keeping Los Matadores there? Nobody likes the midget wrestling.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
People boo.
It's like never worked either. You know, it's never worked. It's always been a joke. So it's like just enough of it. Like,
But they did hold their own.
Oh, yeah, of course they did. They're a good tag team. I like Primo and Epico. You know, I love them with Rosa Mendez. I thought they had a lot more potential. They were tag team champions for a reason. But, again, they never talked on the mic. She did all of the talking, por favor, you know, and it wasn't over. There hasn't been a tag team like the Road Warriors or like the Dudley Boys or like just a great tag team that even like when the New Age Outlaws came back, I was like, finally a tag team with like some stability, like two, like a yin and a yang. There's not a tag team like that right now.
So it is a deficiency in the scene, but what's going on in NXT that they're doing that so well?
You know what it is? It's just like, again, it's like you have a team that – you have teams in NXT that are better because of the sum of their parts. It's like Gotch and English by themselves, they're okay. But together, they're just something special. The same thing with Cassidy and Amore. By themselves – they're good, but they're missing something. Together, they have that something special. Sin Cara and Kalisto, together, they work very, very well together. You know? The Ascension, same exact thing. They need, like, Victor is the technical guy, you know? But he's not as strong as, you know, Connor. And together, they work well. It's like whoever's putting these tag teams together in NXT gets it much better than whoever's doing it in the WWE.
But I also think they, you know, like, listen, the mechanics thing, it's implied, right? The mm-hmm. Buddy Murphy's kind of like extreme sports rocker thing, mm-hmm. it's implied, right?
Oh,
the
yeah.
Lucha Dragons was the only one that I ever, the Lucha Dragons and the Ascension were really the only ones that were kind of jammed in your face.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
You know, the Vaudevillains, they kind of gravitated towards each other, and then they renamed themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So maybe that's something that has to happen.
Then you have Jordan and what's the other guy's name?
Jason Jordan.
And Ty Dillinger. They're a good tag team, too.
Well, yeah, but they don't need a name to be a good tag team.
Mm-hmm.
There were times when in our younger days when tag teams were
Yeah, they all had names. The Brainbusters, the Bumbaclots, the, you know, the Fosse's. Like, they all had all these different names and stuff like that. And it's like the Wrecking Crew, the Varsity Club, all these stupid names, you know, and it's like, do you really need to do that?
But you bring up the example of the Road Warriors, and the Road Warriors were dominant. The Road Warriors were good. The Road Warriors were big guys who did everything in their power to make the match as good as possible. But after a year, they left and they went to NWA or they went to other territories and they did their thing.
Yeah, they
so
never
that
killed.
When they came back,
yep.
It was much more impactful.
Yep, I agree. There's just not those places to go to now until GFW gets off the ground and, you know, Ring of Honor. I don't know if Ring of Honor is ever going to be what they should be. You know?
Ring of Honor is shooting itself in the foot, right? It's shooting itself in the foot by not giving itself more production value because there is plenty of talent there.
Oh, absolutely. That's where, like, the Stars of Tomorrow are born. That's what Jim Ross said, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, have you gone back and watched the Jim Cornette shoot on why he left Ring of Honor?
No, what'd he say?
It's like a 5-part series on YouTube. He was like, they didn't give me the budget. We were going to buy a building. I said, buy a building that we'll call the Honor Arena. Have everyone go in there. You could set up different. You could make it look really packed. You're always sold out because you could change the number of seats, right? You could put up, you know, signage. You could put up black lights. You could put up all your lighting so you don't have to tear it down and put it up every week, right? And, I mean, think of it from a small promotion standpoint. It made sense.
Oh, yeah.
But then you know, he started to clash with the higher-ups. He had his personal clash with Kevin Steen, you know, who was very vocal about not liking Jim Cornette because Jim Cornette didn't believe that Kevin Steen was a headliner.
Which, you know, I think is wrong.
Do you think so? I mean, is he a headliner in WWE?
I think, we'll put it this way, if he loses a little bit of weight and he's given an opportunity, I think not only Kevin Steen is going to be one of those guys that, like a Daniel Bryan, is going to win like the United States or the Intercontinental title within like his first 2 years in the company. And then he's going to cut some promo, and he's really going to work, and he's going to bleed, and he's going to sweat, and then he's going to be over. If they let him do that package buster, and they let him talk, he's over. He's over. I'm telling you. The same thing with Balor. If they let Balor really go, Balor, everyone talks about Kenta.
Balor doesn't have to talk. Balor talks in the ring.
Mm-hmm. But if they let him do the face paint, and they let him, like, stare people down, and they let him scream a little bit, and they double stomps from the top rope, and all those suplexes that he does, and the kicks and stuff, he's over, you know?
Kenta, though, Kenta needs to connect.
Kenta's not that good. I hate to say it. In Japan, it's different. In the United States, he's just lacking something. And to be totally honest, his body needs a lot of work.
He's very stocky.
Yeah.
And the bottom part of his body is extremely muscular.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't look it. It looks like he has fat legs.
Yeah.
But those legs hit you, dude, they fucking hurt, man.
He's got to work on his chest a little bit. Like, Balor is, like, cut out of stone. Like, he's got an 8-pack. He's, like, perfect.
But you want to see yourself impressed by Kenta? Tyler Black, also known as Seth Rollins, versus Kenta, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's on YouTube. It's a 10-minute cut. They cut together from the tape.
Uh-huh.
Those moves were amazing. At one point, I thought Seth Rollins had died.
Yeah.
Because he did the GTS, and he did it well. And it looked like this guy's head just got knocked around.
And this is the thing, though, too. This is the thing that hurts Kenta the most. He can't do that move in the WWE.
Why not? CM Punk's not there.
He's not going to do it. I'm telling you.
If they don't let him do the move he invented, there has to be a problem.
The WWE is so fucked up that the thought of them one day getting CM Punk back is enough for them not to let Kenta do a move that he created.
But hold on a sec. Let's be 100% honest. Who walked out on who?
Oh, it doesn't matter.
It does matter. I mean, you don't have a right to call. Don't call it the GTS, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But how? Look, the FU or the attitude adjustment. Right, the shell shock, they all come out of the fireman's carry.
Nobody
says anything about that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, the shell shock is the glorified, you know, Samoan drop.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody says anything about that. Mm-hmm. But the moment the GTS comes out, we can't mess this up because Punk might come back.
Yep, that's what I'm telling you. I'm telling you, Kent is not doing the GTS. Because
but
as soon
what
as
he going to do?
As soon as he does it, you're going to hear, see you, Punk. See, and the WWE fucking hates that. They hate it.
Maybe if he does it right every time and he doesn't smack people in the chest, people will stop screaming CM Punk. Because he does it wrong, and you know.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen him nail John Cena right in the middle of the chest with that knee instead of his
face.
I agree. And John Cena, to his credit, plays it off.
I do the Pepsi plunge, CM. That's what you used to do.
Well, he can't call it that. But
yeah,
the top rope pedigree. They won't let him do it anyway because you could hurt someone with that.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
It's sad because, like, Kenta has a lot of potential, but I feel like he's just not being let go the way that he should be, you know?
I really think he's working on his English. Unfortunately, he will be left behind on NXT.
I think so. I think he's not going to get a real shot until Neville and Zayn are gone.
And, well, I foresee Sami Zayn winning the title. at TakeOver or Evolution.
And then Neville's gone, right?
And Neville leaves the company to go to the main roster.
Yep.
And then Zayn has a short run. Don't expect it to be more than a year. He has paid his dues there.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. He's the guy there. He's been the guy there. You don't see Neville jumping through the fucking turnbuckle and tornado DDTing people.
You know what? Every time I see that, it presses me to hell.
Nobody does that. Nobody can do that. Like, that, he's insane.
You know someone who used to do that, who got a little bit more tame lately, is Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
What do you think of his match on the card? I was a little let down.
I was a little let down, too, and you brought in a ladder so you could just stand on top of it.
Just jump.
Like,
just jump.
And I don't like that he doesn't do the dirty deed, like he doesn't do the face plant anymore. Like, I hate that the double arm DDT is your finisher, bro? Come on. What is that?
Do you think they're messing with his character and tweaking? Do you think that was his decision?
I think that was their decision. I think he might have hurt somebody, and they or came close to hurting somebody, and they were like, yeah, we can't have him do this anymore. So it's like his character has been tamed down a little bit. And that move in the ring is like a nuts move, and it like totally encapsulated like his personality. And then, I don't know. I love Dean Ambrose. I think he's great. I think he's a future WWE World Heavyweight Champion. And I stand by that. But I think that like right now, he should have won the IC title last night. That would have been great. You know?
Yeah, it would have. But
the same way Rusev, if Raw would have worked this week, if Raw worked the way that it should have, Rusev loses the U.S. title to like Ryback, and Ziggler or Ambrose wins the Intercontinental title back. That would be like the ultimate payback. Instead, these two guys just tried to scumbag the entire company, yet they hold on to their belts. And then the whole thing with Sergeant Slaughter and stuff with Rusev was an absolute waste of time. Because nothing got accomplished. So there was no battle royal, and he didn't save the Pledge of Allegiance. So what did we accomplish in 10 minutes there? Nothing.
You just reestablished as Jack Swagger.
Yeah. You know. And who still couldn't get the job done.
Yeah. And it's just, at one point, how are you going to protect him? He has to have frequent defenses.
Yeah.
In order, one, to make the title mean something again. You know, and to his credit, Sheamus was trying. But it just didn't work for him for some reason or another. Who had face surgery in order to explain his absence from Survivor Series.
Really?
But Bray Wyatt, they have to stop this. I'm going to start talking in the middle of the match.
Yeah.
Give him a clean finish.
He's capable, you're right. Yeah. Let him work.
You know, if he can't pull the work in the ring, that's something else. Then you can't give him such high-profile matches.
I agree.
You know. But you took away his other weapons in Harper and Rowan.
Which, this is the thing, too. That wasn't even explained.
He said he had set them free, that he had fixed them. And he set them free in a series of vignettes.
Yeah, but he was still talking about them with them. It was stupid. Now all of a sudden they don't like each other? Stupid. It was just not explained properly.
Well, it's laziness in the writing room.
Incredibly lazy. And it's like Rowan and Harper, I think they both have a ton of potential as singles performers. I love that swinging sidekick that Rowan's been doing lately.
My God, where did he get that?
I don't know.
Do you think he took that time off to do that?
It works well with him, and considering it's kind of like a discus like clothesline with his leg, you know? It's pretty crazy, you know?
For a guy that size to have that amount of ups, come on. Pretty incredible.
They both have a ton of potential. Like, I don't know how long that beard look thingy is going to go, because that's just, like, scary. But, I mean, he's got a lot of potential. But it's
question
just like
for you.
What?
Do they condition their beards?
Probably.
I'm trying to grow one out. I can't imagine having it that big.
I'm telling you this now from my experience. Like, I've grown out my beard a couple times pretty big, and you must absolutely shampoo and condition your beard. Because if you don't, it gets really hard and jagged and it stinks and it's like, It's not good. Imagine walking around all day and sweating and stuff like that, and then being able to smell that, like, on your lip and on your face. It's not. You have to take care of your face, oh, you know? So, like, that beard probably smells like a horse's ass.
Because, you know, you, they spit all over the place.
They spit all over the place. They're wrestling on that dirty-ass mat. Like, that's not... That's, it's not a hygienic decision by any means necessary. Like,
but you just gave me a 20-minute tease to TLC.
All right.
I mean, I did it. Come on. If you're going to give them a three match program, that's fine. But there are better ways to end it. Bray Wyatt's done the "I'm the better hero," you know, thing before. You know, I can make you a better hero with John Cena. That ran its course. I don't need to see it happen again.
And there's no title on the line, so it's like, who cares?
Yeah, but if anything, they misused this feud so far. Why don't you have Dean Ambrose mess with Bray Wyatt? Have him be the one playing the games, you know? And that way, it's at least more interesting, because now Bray Wyatt is on edge.
I agree.
The Eater of Worlds, you know, that whole character gets in your head. What if someone is trying to get back into his? You know, I think that has, at least as from a writing perspective, Pat.
Yeah, I don't think they've done it enough to, like, they've established Ambrose as a wise ass and somebody that's, like, slightly vindictive, but not nearly as evil as Wyatt. And I think that if they did develop that side of Ambrose, it would be a lot more entertaining to see how far either one of them would go to sabotage one another.
Yes.
But, you know, we don't know anything. You know, we just talk about this stuff.
Well, so now to the main event.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it was only six matches on the court.
Yeah.
With the impromptu Cesaro-Jack Swagger match, which actually wasn't that bad.
Yeah, those two guys work well together. And, like, you could put Cesaro in the ring with a fucking mannequin and it would be a 3-star match. So
I know, but I saw him and Daniel Bryan go Ring of Honor for 20 minutes. Really impressive. That man could wrestle. Why isn't he wrestling like that?
Yeah, I agree.
You know,
because they don't wrestle like that in WWE.
I think he's going to have a heart attack in the ring.
Yeah.
Have you seen the way he's starting to breathe now? Because he's just super muscular up top.
Yeah.
I mean, no, he does his gut wrench. He used to do it like nothing, and now it's taking some out of him. You know, he looks like he's going to have a heart attack in the ring. Him and Ryback.
Oh, yeah, right back, like, he probably can't even wipe his own ass. That's why he wears those black trunks under his regular trunks.
Under his singlet?
Yep.
Oh, man. Well, the authority Team Cena storyline, the one to end it all, the one that would change the landscape. The WWE.
I'm sorry, but if, like, Team Authority is, like, the best team ever put together, then it's, like...
I don't know where they got that.
The Jets are going to win the AFC East this year. Like, I don't get that shit.
Me, man, you got to believe, bro. But yeah, so who do you have on Team Authority? Mark Henry, you have Seth Rollins, the captain, right? Uh-huh. And you have
Rusev Machka.
Rusev and Lana, mm-hmm. Right, being awesome. Very little talking, which is a little weird, right? And then you have, of course, Jamie Noble and Triple H and everyone else on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have Harper, who just was obviously the guy they threw in there because he could wrestle.
Yeah. He surprised me, too. He was great in that match.
He was. I mean, everyone had their opportunity to shine. Some more than others. Right. Mark Henry.
Truth be told, as soon as that match started, I went to my wife and I was like, it would be great if Big Show just knocked Mark Henry right on his ass. And then it happened. And I was like, oh! So.
But, you know, it doesn't even look that forceful anymore. I think Paul White is losing some oomph.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's in his 40s now, you know? He's not a spring chicken. And guys like that big are not supposed to be able to... He should not be able to do half of the shit that he does now.
You know? He has to be trying to stay in shape.
Yeah, but he's 7 feet tall. He's 400 pounds. It's like... Yeah...
You know, it's very difficult for him to travel by air.
Oh, yeah, he has that big truck and stuff. I watched a Big Show documentary on the WWE Network, $9.99.
But can you imagine, like, having to sit next to the Big Show?
That would be awesome.
He's, like, taking up two seats, and you're, like, in over, and you go, Mr. Show, would you like some gum?
Yes. Yes, I would.
We would have a farting contest, because I'm notorious.
On planes?
In the car?
Oh my god. Like, oh, who did that? Oh, the dog did it. That goddamn dog.
But when you saw Mark Henry go down, you were like, they didn't even let him wrestle.
Yeah, which kind of hurt for me because I like Mark Henry.
Or do you think they were protecting him?
I think they were protecting him and they were trying to, like, keep Big Show over. Because, like, Henry loses that. I think, like, Henry will always be an attraction and he'll always be somebody that could, like, come in and have a good match with, like, a young face. But Big Show doesn't have, like, Henry has, like, a good 5 more years left. Show, I don't think Show has that much long left. So I think they're trying to squeeze every, like, drop they can out of him, you know?
And then you have, I forgot who was the next person in the ring, but I know Ryback took over.
Right? Oh, yeah.
And it was Ryback versus, I think, Rusev, right?
Yeah.
And Rusev, impressive against a big guy like Ryback who needs to be able to learn to put in more than 10 minutes in the ring.
Yeah, he hasn't done that yet. And, you know, it makes those comparisons to Bill Goldberg, like, justified. So,
but when you're that big, you know, you run out of steam a lot faster. Ooh, hot tag Dolph Ziggler in.
Yep. You know,
Ziggler's our favorite wrestler here on this podcast.
Absolutely, he's up there.
He's up there, and he proved why he was up there. So that was about 5 minutes into the match that Ziggler got tagged in.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Then to get walloped by The Authority and Rusev.
He was in that match for a long time.
Yeah, about 5 minutes later, Rusev decided to jump on Ziggler in the ring, and I heard no count from the referee.
Mm-hmm.
Which at this point is like, why do you even have him there? Just have him there to count the pins. Right. Because there's no counts. And in an elimination match, everything counts. You know, so why are you not counting this guy out?
I understand that we have to suspend disbelief sometimes. But yeah, when you see something that blatantly illogical and stupid, it just ruins the entire thing.
Yeah. And who was it? Was it Chioda?
No, it was another guy.
Well, someone needs to tell that guy he has to at least count really slow.
Yeah.
Right. And Rusev knocking himself out, I thought was a great way to eliminate him without him taking a pin or submission.
Yeah, this is the thing, too. Just let him lose already.
Yeah.
He's been undefeated for like a year.
Yeah, but and would it have mattered much that it's in a Survivor Series match?
No.
But it would have made him seem like the Authority had put stock in a person that wasn't right.
That's true. It's just, you know, like, I don't know.
But knocking yourself out a la Jack Swagger?
Yeah.
It's karma.
It is.
You know, and Ziggler eliminated Rusev. Technically.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's one elimination for Ziggler. Who tags John Cena in. Right. So Cena, I forgot, it was Luke Harper, right? Cena comes in. Right. Big Show steps in, knocks Cena out. What was your reaction then?
I was like, son of a bitch. I'm like, I knew it.
I mean, you know there was a heel turn. I thought it was going to be Ziggler.
Really?
I thought it was going to be Ziggler. I thought it would have added to his character. It would have put him into his more natural position.
See, I wasn't expecting a heel turn. I was expecting Triple H to pull what he pulled at the end. And I was expecting Randy Orton to come out of nowhere and hit like an RKO on somebody or something like that. Because they were in St. Louis. It just made so much sense.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, think about this. You have Ziggler in a match, right? Mm-hmm. He got beat up by Harper. Thrown into the ring, right? Lost his IC title. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You have John Cena not come out to help any of these guys, especially Ziggler. Ziggler was on a receiving end of how many beatdowns from the Authority?
Oh, a ton.
Right?
Even yes. One on Friday, yeah. Like all of a sudden now SmackDown, like important stuff happens on SmackDown now.
Well, they're trying to make it relevant for their move to Thursday nights.
Yeah.
You know, which should go live. Just go live. Just 2 hours live is not impossible for you.
Yeah, I agree.
3 hours is being too much.
Yeah, even like 3 hour Raw is just, oh, God, it's such a waste of time.
And my friend Cody Shellgatter has been at two Raws lately. You have Superstars, you have Raw, and then sometimes you have a dark match afterwards.
Uh-huh.
That's 5 hours.
Yeah, who wants to watch? I love wrestling, but I cannot watch 5 hours of wrestling straight.
You know, and you're in an arena. You're a captive audience. You have to use the bathroom. You have to get something to drink. You got to pay $6 or $7. You have to do this. You end up buying some merchandise because the kid is screaming his head off. You just want him to shut up? You're like, he's fine. I'll get you your 15 John Cena shirt. You know, no, I mean, I know why they do it, but it's really, that's why you see sometimes the crowd is not into it. Because they've already been there for 3 hours by the second hour of Raw.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe they should rethink that. But, you know, you have that happen. You have John Cena, you know, not helping people out, right? If I was Dolph Ziggler, as soon as he steps in the ring, zigzag, go, that's for not helping me. That's for not coming and doing what you had to do, right? Right thing, and then he shakes Triple H's hand, right? And they count John Cena out. Because, you know, I thought that would have been the natural heel turn.
That would have been pretty cool.
You know, and it would have made sense.
The whole thing is, though, the only thing that would have hurt was Ziggler and Rollins are way too close to, like, how they work in the ring. It'd be like you have two of the same guy in the Authority, you know?
Well, I mean, yeah. Yeah, but obviously Ziggler would have got a major rub from his Authority time.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
but I think he's better as a face, to be honest.
Yeah, but they need to let him talk.
Yeah, they need to let him talk more, I agree. But he's better as the worker, you know, the good guy worker, like the underdog.
He's a better chaser.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, but you know, he put in a lot of work. He eliminated Harper by using the tights.
Loved it.
Which I thought, you know what? Your back's against the wall.
Yep, you gotta do what you gotta do.
You know, you lost Ryback, you lost John Cena, you lost Big Show, who walked out on you. You know, you lost Rowan.
Anything that you can do now to stay in that match, that's what you do.
So he's eliminated two people.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
He eliminates, I forgot who, he eliminated Rusev by countout. He eliminated Harper by pinfall. He goes ahead, right, and who's left? I forgot who's left. You see, this is what happens.
You're funny. Rollins.
Rollins.
And Kane.
And Kane. He eliminates Kane, who had this largest herniated disc I have ever seen on a person.
Yeah, man, it's kind of scary.
At one point, he should really see a doctor.
Yeah.
Because he eliminated Kane.
Like a big ball in his back, man. It was like John.
People were texting me.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, that's the demon trying to come out of Corporate Kane.
Oh, my God. It was like John Cena's elbow, like, was on Kane's back. It was pretty gross.
That shows you how little effect Kane had on his match. I forgot he was in it.
Yeah.
But then you have Seth Rollins and Dolph Ziggler. Obviously, these two guys, their stock is rising.
Oh,
they
yeah.
gave him a lot of time to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the curb stomp seems more effective because Rollins wasn't able to land it. You know, which I thought was the right thing to do. Because if he would have hit that finisher the way he's been hitting it on Ziggler, it's lights out.
Oh, yeah. Like, you don't kick out of that, you know? And I love that he was able to avoid it for the first zigzag. It just happened so seamless. It felt like something that you would see in a video game. It was just like perfect counter. It was Yeah, you're right. It was magic.
Magic.
Yep.
You know, I've heard the wrestlers talk about that magic in the ring.
Yep.
And that Seth Rollins, they got, what, 20 minutes to wrestle?
Yep.
I mean, I do count the 8 minutes that they were technically both knocked out. Right?
Yeah. And truth be told, don't take anything away from Rollins. Like, he worked a fantastic match.
Oh, superb. Superb. And just in setting up spots, it didn't look forced. You know, sometimes when he goes for the curb stop, Ziggler has to get in position, right? This time it didn't. He had the right ring position, you know, and it was just a good, solid match. And you got to see a lot of the old Shield Seth Rollins that you haven't seen in a while.
Yep. Yeah, like you saw a drive-by, which he hasn't done in a while. And,
and it was just good.
Yep, I agree.
And I was like, Ziggler is, what's going on that WWE has finally realized that Dolph Ziggler is the savior to WWE Universe?
Yep.
I mean, in the end, he kind of wasn't. But, you know, that moment where he hit that zigzag on Seth Rollins and there was no referee, you know, I was like, this guy just knocked out Mr. Money in the Bank.
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna eliminate now four people. He's going to technically eliminate four people, right?
Yep.
They get another referee in, Triple H pulls him out, knocks that guy out.
Oh, and the crowd was losing it.
Rollins is getting up. He hits another zigzag that looks even better.
Yep.
And the crowd went ballistic because that's what they've wanted.
Yep.
Right? Triple H goes crazy. pulls Rollins onto him, and then you have, you know, Scott Armstrong, right? The dirty ref.
Oh, but before that, he hit a vicious clothesline.
Oh.
A vicious clothesline. Like, we're talking like a Stan Hansen clothesline on Ziggler. Yep, and then the pedigree. So, I mean, yeah, he's done.
And one of the better-looking pedigrees lately.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
Because his head looked like it smacked that mat. He was out.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
But that's just Ziggler being able to sell better than anybody else.
It was a sell fest between both Rollins and Ziggler.
Yep.
Which made me literally get anxious. You know, I was starting to mark out. Because at one point I forgot this is predetermined. And it looked like two guys were fighting.
Yep.
One for survival and one to not make some other guy look like an asshole. Which is what Seth Rollins looked like. He was like, hey, this guy put a lot of faith in me. I guess I gotta deliver now.
Yep.
Right? And, you know, you seeing everyone else fall in front of you, you get really nervous. And you could tell in his actions, in his frustrations at the kickouts. And Dolph Ziggler kicking out, looking like he had just come out of a coma. You know, helps. I mean, you saw him. He barely kicked out of that last one.
Oh, yeah, it was great.
You know, and then all of a sudden he hits that zigzag. And then and they're like, here comes Triple H. They're going to do it again. And I had my friend Patrick from high school here. And the moment the crows started going, and he's like, who's that? And I go, it's Sting. He goes, no way. And Sting comes out, and we go, it's Sting! And we mark out. I'm like, I'm being serious. My hands go up, his hands go up, and it's like we were 10 years old again.
Oh, I agree.
We're high-fiving, you know.
I felt the same exact way. I wrote on Facebook, I haven't marked out like this since 1997, you know? And I must say that reverse DDT, that Scorpion Death Drop, was pretty gangsta.
I think he might have actually hit him because he hasn't done it in a while.
The arm was stretched out to the side, the other arm. I mean, he didn't hold his head and look at him a little bit. Like, he didn't sell it too much, but he did it exactly the way he should have done it. And it was a pretty special moment.
And no words had to be said. I would have really marked out if he would have come down from the rafters.
Oh, yeah, but after Owen Hart, that's never going to happen again.
I know, but you know, if that ring would have gone dark and Triple H would have been in the middle, and he would have been looking at the Titantron, and he would have dropped in behind him, and Steph just started screaming, and he turned around.
Oh, yeah.
He had Sting just pointing the bat at him. That crowd would have gone ballistic.
Two things pissed me off there. The first thing was that as soon as Sting's music hit, Scott Armstrong stopped counting. Why?
Because apparently the only way to distract a professional wrestler is by playing another wrestler's music.
You know?
And then this great article on Kayfabe News, realizes he could block chop.
Oh, my God. And then the other thing is the staring for, like, 2 minutes.
It was 6 minutes.
Oh.
And these two guys are playing off that they're knocked out.
Oh, my God. Stop with the staring. And then Triple H just says something along the lines of, what the F are you doing? What the F are you doing in my ring? And then Sting turns his head and says, excuse me. And then the kick to the gut and the Scorpion Death Drop. It's like, really? Like, he couldn't have just came to the ring, Triple H swung at him, and then that happened? It would have been so much more authentic. Instead, they're trying to sell, like, the WrestleMania moment there, kind of, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, Triple H looks at the crowd and then looks back at Sting. It's like, that would have never happened in 1997.
And could I be 100% honest with you?
Go ahead.
Didn't you wish JR was not in retirement at that moment?
Oh, absolutely. And JR,
that is a once-in-a-lifetime moment.
JR loves Sting, too. You know?
Could you just imagine? Sting! Sting! Yep. Stinger! The Sting is here! The 15-time WCW World Heavyweight! God knows how many times he won.
Yeah. Right? I think he won it six times.
I know, but you get it. You get the emotion behind it. It's like Michael Cole's like, Sting, what is Sting doing here? And JBL with his stupidness.
Oh, JBL's a pisser, though. He's funny. I get like all his pop culture references. That's why I like him. But that finish was fantastic. That was like,
and you think amazing. There's something in the works? Because Sting pulled Ziggler on.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if they're smart, I think they do Triple H, Sting at Royal Rumble, and then they have, Sting and Taker at WrestleMania.
At WrestleMania, Yeah. But I think Ziggler has got a huge rub, one from his performance.
Yeah.
You cannot deny that. But like you said, if everyone remembers the end of pay-per-views, Survivor Series 1996, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Montreal Screwjob.
Yep.
What happens in 2014, Sting shows up. But let's be honest, right? Of all the people that wrestled that night, only one man wrestled for almost 40 minutes.
Yep.
And that was Dolph Ziggler, who put in an incredible performance that everyone around the internet is recognizing. And I think that WWE should recognize him and give him a title shot. Once they get the title back in the building.
Yeah, once they get, because right now it would make no sense. And this is the thing, who beats Lesnar? Who can beat Lesnar?
It's supposed to be Roman Reigns.
That skinny bitch?
You know what? He was becoming a monster.
He just, I don't know. I love Roman Reigns. I think he's got a lot of potential. But as far as his physicality goes, like, without that chest protector, without his D-Lo chest protector on, he's not nearly as intimidating as a lot of people think he is. I love the Superman punch. I love that inside-outside drop kick. I love the spear. He needs, like, two more setup moves, like, two more signature moves in there to be really successful, and he needs to work on his upper body. He needs to be, if he's built like John Cena, then and throws all those moves in that he does, then we're talking. Right now, yeah, he's lacking something.
So who would you pit against Lesnar right now?
Nobody. Nobody could beat Lesnar.
So what do you do with that title? Can't Bruno Sammartino that thing.
What happened? Where'd you go, bitch? Hello?
Hello, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, you can't Bruno Sammartino that thing. He defended that.
Who beats him? Well, I would think if you're smart, you have, like, Rollins make an alliance with somebody, and then that person, like, just beats the shit out of Lesnar with, like, a weapon or something like that. And then Rollins wins, you know, cashing in his money in the bank or something like that. Or, like, the same thing that happened last time. Cena pushes Lesnar to the limit, and then Rollins takes the scraps. And then what you do is then you have Rollins win the belt, and then Reigns and Rollins go, you know, or something like that, you know?
Yeah. They painted themselves in a corner.
In a huge corner. It's the same thing what they did with Orton. Now Orton comes back. What is he going to rebel against?
No, he's going to be fighting against Seth Rollins.
Yeah, but it could have been so much better if he took out the Authority. Like, he's paying back one guy instead of, like, paying back five. So now we only see one RKO instead of five.
But Jamie Noble and Joey Mercury still
there. Who absolutely positively can still work. They looked great yesterday.
Oh, man. You got so much talent, guys. Use it. It's, make diversified storyline.
It sucks, man, because, like, Noble was one of my favorite, like, up-and-coming cruiserweights in WCW. And Joey Mercury, I've loved Joey Mercury since, like, ECW. When him and Christian York were a tag team, you know? So, that's just kind of sad. And then Joey Mercury was awesome when he was in the Straight Edge Society with CM Punk. It's like, the guy has a lot of potential, but you're just wasting them in this stupid J&J security kind of thing. But whatever. They don't even really want to wrestle anymore. They're just happy to be on TV.
They're just happy to get the paycheck and be on TV.
Yep.
Well, so, let's be honest. Survivor Series was good. The Raw, Monday Night Raw, was flat.
Yeah, very flat.
If you're going to build to TLC... you have to find a better way.
You only have 3 weeks to do it. Daniel Bryan provided, like, a huge lift in the beginning of the show, and then it just fell flat. This whole New Day vignettes nonsense, it's not doing it for me. There's just a lot of fluff on the show, and there's just not enough sizzle.
Well, you do have the return of the Raw Anonymous General Manager.
Oh, which was awful. Oh, and the way they ended the show... you're like, oh my god, not again. And we know it's Hornswoggle. Stop it.
Well, it may be. It may actually be Mr. McMahon.
Which would be awesome.
I would have it be Mr. McMahon.
Which would be awesome.
Because then you set up the return of Triple H and stuff.
Yeah, Triple H has to return to the ring now.
No, it's not just that. It's like, they're in their desk jobs. You get shots of them at their desks, right? And then he comes over, he goes, Steph. we got to get the old man out of power. Right? And you have Mr. McMahon do this Raw General Manager anonymous thing for like 2 weeks. Right? And then have it revealed at TLC that the general manager is Mr. McMahon. Right? Have people, you know, get that little gooey feeling that they get for the evil Mr. McMahon being in charge. Then you have Steph and Triple H in the background plotting. Just little vignettes, just 30-second vignettes every now and then. Then all of a sudden, McMahon gets taken out of power, right? And they kind of get their way back in because you have Cena. You got to do something with that whole Cena stipulation, right? But you have them kind of creep their way back in to have you know, Triple H and McMahon's chosen warrior, gladiator, step into the ring. Because you know it has to be Sting and Taker. If this is Triple H and Sting, I would not mind that match, but I'd be a little let down.
Yeah, I agree.
That's right. All right, my friend. Well, it seems like we have run out of time, at least until next week when we get another 3 hours of Astounding Wrestling and the coming up Tyson Kidd Finn Balor match. You know, I'm very excited about that. You excited for anything?
Yeah, that match is going to be the... It's going to be the best match of the week. So, from SmackDown to Main Event to Superstars to Raw, that is going to be the best match of the week. So,
let's just hope it can live up to our expectations. I have no doubt that it can.
I'm looking forward to it.
I have a lot more faith in Tyson Kidd than people give him credit for.
Yeah, I think Tyson Kidd is a great worker. I think he's somebody that has a lot of potential. He's a lot more charismatic than people give him credit for. And Balor is an absolute blue chipper. So, should be interesting. You can't teach that.
Right there. All right, everyone. From Juan Jesus' warm, embracing heart and my wonderful Stay Puft Marshmallow Man physique, and Patrick Hickey Jr., Editor-in-Chief of ReviewFix.com, we bid you adieu. Have a good weekend, and remember, only $9.99 gets you all this stuff that we just talked about.
How you doing?
How you doing? I really would love to sleep and come out like that. Like, not even have sex, just sleep the same bed.
I don't know what to say to that.
Would you not want to sleep next to that?
I'm married!
Off the record.
But the tape is still going, so we're still on the record.
Oh, well, stop that shit.
Oh.